Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. We're in the Pacific Northwest. We're shivering. We're expecting temperatures down in the 20s. We've been so spoiled rotten with good weather. My goodness. Well, we're going to warm up to a conversation that's going to, I think, empower you. So get sort of cozy by your computers and just sit back and relax. And our guest, Diane Federer, is a woman that's written a book called Chasing Normal. And it is, I think, so empowering because it is oriented towards people that are disabled. And let's face it, we all have some kind of disability one way or another. But there are some that have disabilities that can really encumber them in ways that most of us don't experience. But Dinah, well, she's got a story to share today, I think, that you're going to find very inspiring and also some insights into life that she lives on a day-to-day basis, and she's going to be sharing that with us. Dinah Federer, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you.
Dinah, when I got your book and I read through it, I really appreciated the fact that you, as an individual that has gone through so many various experiences in your life, decided you wanted to put pen to paper and write about these stories, be able to share with people the realities of what you have experienced. When you were putting this together, How did this affect you? I mean, when you were deciding that you were going to open up your personal life for other people to see, to share your very personal experiences, what did you go through when you were writing about that? How were you feeling about it? And also, what motivated you to do it?
Well, what motivated me is the fact that I personally grew up with a disability, so I was already somewhat familiar with life as a disabled adult, but then at age 35, I acquired a secondary pain syndrome that was completely new and incredibly terrifying for me. And when I was going through it and when I was walking through that terror, I was trying to look for resources myself that might assist me in journeying through this with some grace and some dignity. And I didn't find anything that really addressed survival. I was looking and I found a lot of personal accounts. But the thing is that when you are in crisis, typically people don't have a lot of concentration ability. So I wanted something to the point, down and dirty, that was a survival guide, and I couldn't find it. So I felt like, well, if it's not out there, it needs to be. And I started paying attention to what helped me in my quest for survival, and then, you know, going beyond surviving to thriving. And I started taking notes and thinking about what is it that I wanted when I was in the heart of the crisis. What would I have wanted someone to say to me? What would have felt reassuring to me? And as I relived that, I would take notes on, it would have been nice to hear someone say this, or I would have felt good to know that. And then that's sort of how the book came to be, because, you know, whether you're facing a physical disability, whether you're facing aging issues, financial crises, it doesn't really have to be a physical disability. It can just be the nuts and bolts of trying to live your life and surviving those things that shake us to our core. And so that's really what the book is for. It's to help people in their quest for surviving and thriving, regardless of what their life challenges are.
Let's touch on a few things about you personally. You are a professional. You're a vocational rehabilitation counselor. And you really are very skilled at enabling people that have had disabilities or develop disabilities and maybe have to look at shifting into a different employment positioning, helping them find what they need. And you've been doing this for over 20 years. Now, I'd like to touch on a couple of things. One, you were born, and you'll need to help me pronounce this, with a Charcot-Marie tooth, CMT. Tell us what that is. You were born with that. What is that?
It's under the muscular dystrophy umbrella. And actually, in the last several months, I'm 46, and I finally got a conclusive diagnosis. There are several types of Charcot-Marie tooth disease, and I was just diagnosed with the rarest form called Dejerine sotis. And it's the rarest form of Charcot-Marie tooth. And what it does is it affects the, peripheral muscles and nerves so that, for example, the farther away you get from the spine, those nerves are the most affected. So while I'm able to use my hands and feet and those kinds of things, I'm able to walk with crutches. My sensation, the further away from the spine that I get, the less the sensation is. So, for example, I might be holding a piece of paper, and if I drop it, I wouldn't know that I dropped it unless I saw it fall, because my fingers don't feel those kinds of really fine things. And that's the disability that I grew up with. The
now,
disability... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, go ahead, go finish.
Then the disability that I contracted at age 35 is called trigeminal neuralgia, and it's a very painful nerve damage kind of thing. The trigeminal nerve is the fifth cranial nerve. It's the nerve that that gives you sensation in your face. And when it acts up, it causes stabbing or electrocution-like kind of pain in the face, and I have that on both sides. Usually people only have it on one side.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping with my theme of very rare diseases, I have it on both sides. So that is what caused me to then have to deal with disability on yet another level.
You had quite a family that was very supportive of you. In fact, your family went through a great deal of stress after you were born because you had pneumonia 5 times in the first year of your life, and you were not even able to walk until you were about 5 years of age, and you always have to have some kind of assistance because of this rare disease that you had. And when you were born in the 60s, you said there were no programs available of any type to help disabled babies. Now,
mm-hmm.
We don't often think of that, but that is something that has to be, you know, just a reality. There are babies that are going to be disabled, and you were one of them. But you had just absolutely the best support, and it was interesting because you had so much good support from the time you were born, and there was a doctor that when he observed you, it was because of his observations, he noticed that your muscles, your swallowing muscles, were weak from being so sick from the time you were born, and he said they were feeding you as you were laying down, and that's what caused you to develop pneumonia. And he said, feed you sitting up, which would strengthen the swallowing muscles and prevent further illness. And I thought, this is a phenomenal observation, because when you think of it, when mothers are nursing, the baby's heads are up. They're not usually lying down, because often moms are busy and they're sitting in a chair when they're nursing or they're doing something. Often moms wear slings today, so that they can do that easily. But I don't know of many mothers that will lay down when they're nursing. But bottle feeding, people have a tendency to do that. And when you do that, that's very interesting, that the muscles in the throat that enable a baby to swallow can become weakened if you don't feed them in an upright positioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know much about that as it relates to the general population, but I know that that was his observation for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Once this physician made that observation and my parents started feeding me sitting up, I believe that ended the bouts of pneumonia. So that was certainly a blessing.
You have a quote in your book, "Blessed is the influence of one true loving human soul on another," by George Eliot. And you said this doctor, this one person, you never know who is going to be there to assist you. One person can make a difference. And so often I say that on my show, and I was very impressed with that when I read it in your book. Your mom and dad really wanted to empower you. They weren't about the business of coddling you. Your dad wanted you to be financially independent. He didn't want you to have to depend on a man to take care of you. He said, "You've got to be able to support yourself." Wow, was he an anomaly, your dad?
Yes. Yes, for those days, he absolutely was.
I mean, that. How many dads would say that to their daughters? I want you to stand on your own two feet, especially a daughter that's being challenged health-wise, saying, come on, you've got to stand on your own two feet. You have a fabulous family, and your mother was always encouraging you to do things for yourself. Now, you ended up going on to college,
mm-hmm.
and you graduated about 22 years of age. And he said, you said that you found you were discriminated against. People, when you would tell them about certain things that you were experiencing, they automatically assumed you weren't capable, and you got involved with a discrimination suit. Tell us about that lawsuit.
Well, I actually considered a discrimination suit, and I did not eventually end up pursuing it because of my dad's advice. But yes, I had an employer who I had worked for a year, and after a year, he told me that he wasn't renewing my contract because he didn't think that I could do my job. And after a year of doing it, that was sort of a bitter pill to swallow. It was supervising kids in an after-school program, kind of a drop-in center kind of thing. And they were at-risk kids. They were they were wonderful. I loved them. They weren't always the best behaved, so certainly we all had to be on our toes. But he felt that I wasn't keeping up with the kids well enough. And certainly he had a right to his opinion. But I felt that after doing the job for a year, it was quite odd to say that I couldn't do it because, nothing major happened. Certainly a couple things got broken while I was there, but I think that probably would have happened had anybody been there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When kids decide that they're going to pretend that pool sticks are swords and they, start lancing at each other with these swords, that kind of thing. Certainly you have to break it up, but you can't prevent those kinds of things from happening because they're kids.
Right.
So I did pursue it. I looked into it. I had an attorney who was willing to take my case because he agreed that it was obvious discrimination. But my dad, who was a very wise businessman, said, "You live in a small town. You're going to be branded a troublemaker. Don't do it. Let it go."
Mm-hmm.
And as fate would have it, the universe smiled on me, and before that job ended, I found a different job anyway. So before my contract was up, I found a different job as a case manager working with people with disabilities, and it all worked out fine. But it is a thing that people with disabilities have to face. Do we pursue things litigiously, or do we try and move beyond that? And it's a tough question.
I had to chuckle when you were talking about your husband after you developed this secondary situation with your body where you had so much pain, how your husband started picking up the slack. And I chuckled because you said you worked, you cooked, and you cleaned, and you had in parentheses, badly.
Yes.
You did laundry.
I'm not real domestic.
I got a kick out of that. And you said your husband has been such a wonderful support for you. And you then have gone through what is called a gamma laser surgery, which has, in a way, sort of helped with the pain that you have acquired, this very painful condition, but it's not eliminated it totally, but you are able to work with your life. And you said that with this, you have found that you have been able to interact with people with more compassion and more empathy. And it enabled you, through all of the discomfort you've gone through, the need to control, to release the need to control everything. Gracious, Dinah, I don't know of very many people that have had the grace to even learn how to do that. I mean, any of us that are doers, and you're obviously a doer, it's like we've got to make sure everything is just in place. And to release that, that is a big discipline to acquire.
It is. It is. And it's interesting you brought up the gamma. I had my fourth and final gamma radiation treatment just last week for the trigeminal nerve to try and wound the nerve enough to stop causing pain. So hopefully that radiation will continue to work its magic on the nerve and stun it enough that it quiets down. And yeah, it is. You know, when you develop a pain syndrome and pain suddenly starts ruling your life, you know, I've connected with some beautiful people throughout the world, actually, that have trigeminal neuralgia. Through the Trigeminal Neuralgia Association, they have a blog site, and we communicate and we support each other through those hideously painful days. And what we all deal with is the fact that, you know, a lot of times we can't control the pain. Sometimes pain is causing the shots, and we have to just sort of breathe through it and know that hopefully sooner rather than later, things will ease back up and we will get some relief and we will be able to be more functional. But, yeah, it is really difficult going through that day after day. And it does enable, for me anyway, it enables me to have a different perspective and to really be much more compassionate because I've lived it now. And I see that sometimes just making it through a day, breathing through the day, is a heroic accomplishment. And people who deal with pain on a daily basis truly are heroes because they're surviving day after day with no obvious end in sight, and yet they're doing whatever they can do, whatever their pain allows them to do. And I have met some incredible heroes through the trigeminal site. It's just amazing. And I think we all need to have a little bit more compassion for each other as we face our life's challenges. That's what it's taught me.
You have a real attitude about doctors and attorneys, and I am inclined to agree with them. And I'm going to quote from your book. You said, it's in your opinion that doctors and lawyers are our employees. We are paying them to provide a service. And like any good employee, they get to keep their job as long as they continue to provide quality service. If it starts to slip, we should bring it to their attention. And if they don't do what they're supposed to do, fire them and to trust your gut. You had a doctor that was sort of flippant with you, and you said, enough of this. I am not going to have a physician that is going to talk to me in this way. And you are very adamant. If someone is disrespectful to you, would you trust them to do work on you under anesthesia? And you said, absolutely not. But you encourage people to keep good records and become your own informed advocate because you've got to pay attention to what's going on. And I would add something to that and say that if you're really, really ill or having challenges, like a very dear friend of mine is, you need to have a patient advocate that can be there with you. But asking for help, that is one of the toughest things I believe that just about anybody goes through, that they think, I should be able to do this on my own. And you say, never make big decisions from a place of fear. That's pretty wise. That's wisdom.
Well, yeah, because, you know, fear is never reality. You know, I mean, when we are looking at things from a fearful standpoint, you can bet that we are blurring things. We are not seeing things clearly. We are probably blowing them out of proportion, or maybe we're not understanding them fully. Whatever it is, when we're looking through the lens of fear, we can bet that we are not seeing things clearly. And to make decisions from that perspective, usually, in my opinion, means that we will probably regret those decisions. You know, and I know that for myself, that had I made decisions from a place of fear, I would have made some very bad choices. So when I realize that I'm fearful and I'm thinking I can't do this or I can't handle that or whatever it is, I think to myself, now stop. This is fear talking. Put this down and come back when you're more grounded. And then when I come back to that issue and I'm in a more grounded place, I can then trust myself to make a wise choice rather than a reactive choice.
I like your words where you say spirituality doesn't change the road. Spirituality is more like the shock-absorbing system on your vehicle. Feed your spirit in whatever manner you can. I agree with that. I think that is so very, very important. And when we forget our spiritual needs, when we're going through trial, you know, difficult times, supporting that in whatever medium works for a person, which is what you speak about in your book, I think is vital. Let's talk about nutrition here, because this is something that has become a very important focus for you, hasn't it?
It has, yes.
I want you to know, yesterday I had, not yesterday, Saturday, because I was involved in a very large event. There's a woman that has lived with pain for so many years, and I've had the privilege of having her working and assisting me at this major event annually. And I've watched her for 2 years progress from using a scooter to seeing her this past Saturday, not having to use a scooter at all, and she has finally figured out dietarily what she needs to do for herself, and it just has turned her life around. Tell us how nutrition has affected you and how you're feeling.
Well, initially, when I first developed the pain syndrome, they put me on a medication, and, you know, you don't get a lot of direction from anybody with those kinds of things, so I was just taking the medication and not thinking about eating or not eating, and, you know, just sort of, I've never been a good eater. I was sort of a snacker.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would just put something in my mouth and keep moving throughout my day, not really caring what it was. And what I realized was that if I didn't take my medication after I had some protein in me, if I took it without protein, it would hit me much harder, and I would be sort of woozy and dizzy and just feeling off for a good part of the day. So I realized at that point that I really had to pay attention and eat something good, healthy, and balanced at 3 times a day when I took the medicine. I'm now off of all medication, so luckily I don't have that to deal with, but I know that with my disability, my strength absolutely depends on eating correctly and not just shoving a cracker in my mouth when I'm hungry, but really thinking about getting some protein and some vegetables and, you know, fruits and those kinds of things. So my diet really sort of reflects that, you know, and I typically eat a lot of the same things. I'm not real inventive and imaginative when it comes to food. I'm still sort of someone who just wants to eat and get it over with. But now I choose much more healthy things. So for anybody who's interested, a really good low glycemic index diet is very healthy. The book that I used is called The GI Diet, and the author's last name is Gallup. G-A-L-L-O-P. He has some wonderful words of wisdom about eating so that you keep your blood sugar steady rather than having huge spikes, which is what can throw us off during the day.
Well, Dinah, this has been just wonderful. I want to close out our chat where you say a disability isn't something to be fixed. It's a new way of life for everyone to adjust to. Take it slowly and trust that you'll find your way. I think you've done people a tremendous service by writing your book, Chasing Normal. What is your website that people can go to?
Okay, if they are interested, my website is www.chasing-normal.com. That website was developed, by the way, by Distinct Solutions out of Holland, Ohio, and they're wonderful as far as the support that I need to keep that thing up and running. So if anyone's interested, they're a great company. The book is available on my website, and it's also available on Amazon.com. Again, it's called Chasing Normal, and it's www.chasing-normal.com. And I really thank you for this opportunity to meet with you and your guests.
It's been wonderful, Dinah. Again, her website, chasing-normal.com. And as I said earlier, we all have a disability of one kind or another. It's what we do with what we have that really makes a difference. And Dinah Federer has written a wonderful book that would inspire you and also maybe a friend that's going through a tough time. It's really a good read. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be coming back in just a moment. Again, my guest, Dinah Federer, F-E-D-E-R-E-R, Chasing Normal, a guide for the newly disabled and for those who love them. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. By the way, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. The telephone number to call into is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, I want to take this opportunity to thank the wonderful people, the wonderful staff at the Northwest Women's Show. We just had an absolutely incredible weekend. For those of you that came by the booth, thank you so much for coming by and telling me how much you enjoy the show and how much it means to you. And also, I want to thank the wonderful women that were my speakers on Friday. We just had a full audience with every one of them, and it was just great that these gals came out to share their wisdom and knowledge. And we may have a video to share. I'm not sure, but that's something that may be coming up. But I'll let you know if that's the case. But it was just an incredible experience, and the staff at the Northwest Women's Show just excelled on so many levels, and I just appreciated Ira, who took care of the microphone, and Diane, and Margot, and so many other people in the team that made the show a success. It's just absolutely a joy to do this every year, and I think these people need to have that public acknowledgement. Well, there's another event coming up on the 27th of this month, and it is the Boeing Parapsychology Expo. Now, the name is being changed. It's being called the Emerald Spiral Expo. It's being held on the 27th. This is a wonderful event that's, my goodness, it's almost 40 years old. This is something that's put on in the spring and in the fall every year. They are changing the name of it. It's being held at Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. Go to my website. Check on my site with my newsletter. You'll find information about it. But also, you will get more information from me in the April newsletter. I'm going to have additional details to share with you. But this event has been wonderful, and I'm so pleased that I'm able to participate in it. Normally, I'm not able to make it during the spring, so if you're in Kent, Washington, or areas surrounding it, just know I'll be there. It opens at 10 in the morning, closes at 5. This is sort of a small event, but if you're curious about the paranormal and people of various talents and you want to meet some phenomenal artisans from the Northwest, this is an event to come to. So again, it was formerly called the Boeing Parapsychology Expo. It's now called the Emerald Spiral Expo, and I'll have more information for you tomorrow. So I just wanted to give that information. Okay, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Now, I wanted to talk with you about how you can detoxify your home. I don't know if you have a home office, but I do. And one of the things that I am very much aware of in having a home office is that you have printers running, you've got computers going, you have all kinds of electrical stuff that's around you. And I've learned through the years of being in that environment that especially when you get the larger screens for your computer, it affects you. It affects your eyes. It affects your skin. And it's quite amazing. And it literally can create an environment that to work in it for long periods of time may not actually be so healthy for you. So it is important to know that using plants to detoxify your environment is one of the best things that you can do. And about a year ago, I learned that if you put succulents in your office environment where you have your computers and where all of this energy is being generated in a confined area, it really is very, very healthy for you because the plants literally suck up the energy that could be disruptive to you. I had a client that I was talking with over the weekend that I had picked up. They were getting headaches. There were all kinds of things were happening to them when they were working for long hours with their computer. And I said, you need to put glasses on over your computer glasses, sunglasses, have a colored lens so it cuts down on the glare. And they didn't stop to think that when they get the larger screens, you're getting much more intensity with the brightness that's being put out. And so the eyes can be put into a lot of strain, and depending on how close you sit to it. The same thing, believe it or not, when you have a large television. This person had a very large TV that was situated very close to their computer. So here you've got this tremendous intensity of energy. And I said, try wearing some sunglasses and choose a lens color. It can be a pink, it can be a yellow, might even be a gray. And I think you'll find that these headaches will go away. Also, magnesium is something that you may need to add to your diet. But let me share with you some plants, information about some plants that can make a great deal of difference. Because during winter months, and we're just here in the Northwest, I feel we've already entered into spring, even though we're dipping down into the 20s, because this time of the year, it's not unusual for this to happen. But when you're inside, you're cooking, you're using maybe hairspray, you've got cleaning items, and the house, if it's really sealed tightly, there's a toxic type of an environment that can result, even in the kitchen from cooking. So here's some tips that you might find very, very useful. If you have allergies, one of the best plants to have around is a rubber tree plant. Now, how do they help you? Well, they have a very high humidity content. And what it does, it literally draws dust and allergens like a magnet. They stick to the plant's leaves instead of staying in the air, where they will float and irritate your sinuses. Boy, we could have used them at the women's show. Anytime you do any of these shows, the dust level is just incredible. And they're not difficult to care for. They only need low light, cool temperatures, and you water them when the soil's dry. And that might be just once a week. I mean, they're very, very easy to take care of. But again, they do need some light. Now, if you have plastic in your environment, tell any of us who doesn't, I mean, I don't know any household that doesn't have it or office. And again, this is good for offices too, whether it's home office or in another building. A golden pot hose. I'd never heard of this. P-O-T-H-O-S. Now, what do? They absorb benzene. Benzene is found in plastics, furniture wax, and also tobacco smoke. People can feel drowsy, get very sleepy. They can also have a sense of feeling dizzy. Now, these are wonderful, flowing, growing plants. So if you can put them high up, they just love it, and they'll have these wonderful strands that they let grow down. You don't overwater them. You need to let them dry out totally between waterings, and once or twice a year, you want to clip them back, cut off the growth, so that they stay nice and bushy and full. Then the snake plant. I have one in my counseling office. They are just absolutely magnificent plants, and they're so easy to take care of. They work during night hours to lower levels of carbon dioxide. It keeps your oxygen levels higher during the day. What does that do for you? Obviously, better air quality. And you're going to think better, you're going to feel more productive. And snake plants, my goodness, they seem to be just about indestructible. They grow just about anywhere. Any kind of light, semi-shade, sun, doesn't make any difference, and you water them when the soil is dry to the touch. I never knew that orchids could relieve headaches. Well, they can. They will take in cigarette smoke, fumes from paints, ammonia, dry cleaning chemicals, plastics, even cosmetics. Yes, these are items that often cause headaches for people. When you think of cosmetics, think of perfumes. Ever gotten a headache from perfume? I have. Well, all you have to do is put an orchid out. An orchid does the job. Now, they're pretty tough. You just need to have medium to light cooler temperatures, and you've got to make sure you don't overwater them. Because they don't like, as one of my friends said, to get their tootsies soaked. They like to have this, it's like a bark-like environment. So they have good drainage. They like humidity, but they really do well. So they really do a lot for you. And then a dracaena, there is just something about these plants that if you paint again or you do any kind of furniture repair where you're doing glues, they absolutely thrive on odors that come from that, and the toxin TCE, which is found in paints and lacquers, varnishes, and adhesives, they soak it all up. Plants are amazing. Now, all of these that I'm speaking of are green plants, and you have to put them in a bright light, but you don't want them in direct sun, so they really like a lot of light. You have to water them thoroughly and let the soil dry between the waterings, and then you mist them. They love to be misted. And then you need to wipe the leaves with a dry cloth. A professional gardener and person that worked, that I knew many years ago, that worked in putting plants in business offices and would tend to them on a regular basis, she'd go in and bathe the leaves of various plants maybe once a month, because she said, just like us, they get dirty. And the dirt inhibits them operating at the most efficient levels. And last but not least are the peace lilies. And I didn't know this about peace lilies. Not only are they beautiful, but they love chemical vapors like acetone, which is found in nail polish remover, and the alcohol in hair products and household cleaners. Now, this plant lets you know when it needs water. It leaves will droop. Give it a little moisture, it'll perk right back up. And they say if you want to keep it in your bathroom, don't worry if it doesn't get a lot of sun. It prefers indirect lighting and thrives under fluorescent lighting. So perfect for an office. So when you're having all of this energy in an office, and if you're like me, you've got all kinds of things running, just remember, plants are your friends. Succulents thrive in this, and they're helping to keep your electrical energy and everything else in a harmony. So these are just some tips I think you're going to find very, very useful. And if you want to have more useful information to light up your life, give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. That's our telephone number to call into, and I'll be glad to chat with you. Also, don't forget, if you have a story about the paranormal, an experience that has been very significant to you, I'd love to have you send it to me, because I'm putting together a book of 100 stories. I'll put a few of mine in there, but I'd like to hear from you. Why do I want to put this book together? Because I feel the more we can share personal experiences that have transformed our lives, the better it is going to serve those that maybe are going through their own. At the Women's Show, well, it was fascinating. In fact, I'll share one of the stories that somebody told me and some experiences that they had and what I was able to help them out with. So, anyway, telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hello, this is Donna. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Well, let me share with you the wonderful guests that we are going to be having this week. We're going to be talking with Mary Rowland tomorrow, and this is about the new Common Sense Guide to Your 401k. Now, this book, if you are wanting to deal with money, Mary has so many wonderful points of information, not just about the 401k, but we'll be talking about a number of issues. So don't be fearful. Yes, things have been stinking, but remember, with good planning, you can make some changes in your financial picture. Dorothea Kramer, who was one of the speakers at my expo forum on Friday, she's going to be my guest on Wednesday, Healing Touch Guidebook. This woman has an amazing story to share. She is an energy healer. This woman is phenomenal. I'm so glad that I had the chance to meet with her personally because it just was amazing. Now, on Thursday, we're going to be talking about 5 strategies for staying employed in today's economy. Nina Price is going to be my guest. And then on Friday, I'm going to be opening up the phones during the entire hour, so you'll be able to call in at any time during the hour. I have all kinds of little tidbits that I'd like to share with you, but more than that, it's an opportunity to chat one-on-one if you would like. So that's what's going on this week, and we've just got such a wonderful lineup of guests. Don't hesitate to go into BBS at any time. You can check on the guests that I have got coming up and find out what the topic, subject matter is going to be, and tell your friends because they might want to listen to this as well. I wanted to share this story, and again, if you want to call me, 888-815-9756. All of us deal with change in life. Some of that change, at times, can involve the death of a loved one. And this woman, Debbie Lee, that I'm going to share a story about, is one of the mothers who lost a son overseas. And he was a Navy SEAL. She has in her home photos of her son all around. She also has on display her son's Silver Star and Purple Heart medals, as well as the American flag in its standard fold that had covered his casket. Now, this is a story that really touched my heart, and that's why I want to share it with you, because her son was obviously a very significant individual to her, and one of his dreams and desires when he was growing up was to become a Navy SEAL. And of course, that is considered one of the military's elite forces. He was able to go through all of that, and she said, "My son kept a sense of humor through all of this, and when he graduated as a SEAL, she was so proud of him. However, she knew her son was going to be sent to Iraq along with a lot of other young people. So when she said goodbye to him before he went overseas, she was in tears, of course, but she said, it's going to be just fine. Well, before she would even have dreamed of expecting it, she had gotten a figurine. They were celebrating her birthday, and as she was opening up this package that had this figurine in it, and on the figurine was the word courage. Now, she just opened this package. She got a phone call. That courage on that figurine was what she was going to have to find within herself. She was told to go home, and her son, Mark, who was only 28 years of age, had been killed. He actually, according to what she was told, had made himself a target so his squad could get someone who was badly injured out of danger. Now, I know we've got a caller, and I'm going to share the rest of the story with you later. This is Donna. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
San Diego, California.
Hi, dear. And what's your first name or initial?
Amy.
All right. Amy, what I'm looking at with you, welcome to the show, by the way. Amy, what
am I like on air? Am I like on air?
Yes, you are.
Cool.
All right, Amy. Let me tell you
yeah,
what
yeah,
I...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure because we've got a little bit of a time delay. Amy, the first thing that I'm looking at is an image of you as if you're an athlete and you are in competition with yourself. You've set some pretty high goals and you are in what I call the training cycle at this moment. And you're going to need to go through the training and the discipline and you're perfectly willing to do that. And I want to say follow through because it's going to require repetition of certain kinds of actions so that you're going to be able to consistently have the results that you want. And Amy, I'm watching you with interest because I feel that this competitiveness that's within you as an individual is going to serve you well when you use it in a way that enforces the positive aspects of who you are. And you need to remember that because you don't want to try to compare yourself with others. If you want to use others as inspiration to help you reach for a higher bar of accomplishment, that's wonderful. But I want you to really understand that the self-discipline and perseverance that it's going to take for you to reach your objectives is really what counts most. So you are definitely in this training cycle and you're learning a lot. So if it's additional education you're looking at, if you're finding that you have to follow a certain regimen to accomplish what you want to accomplish, go for it because it's going to enable you to reach your goal. And everything that you do, every step you take is going to get you closer to that level of personal accomplishment that means so much to you. What question do you have for me?
Wow, you hit that. You hit the spot on that, Sandy.
This is Donna, not Sandy.
I'm sorry, Donna. And you know what's funny? I actually didn't even. I thought I was calling a different radio station, so I didn't even know like what I was calling about. And then because like I called, and the guy's like, "Oh, you want to talk to Donna?" And I was like, "Sure." And then he just transferred me over, and then I'm on air. It like all happened so fast. So I didn't even know like what I was calling, but that's great because now maybe this will be like a life changing event. So I don't even know as far as questions go, Donna. Let me ask you this, okay? I mean, everything you said that's weirdly right, okay? I mean, the reason I called was to actually see if you guys knew of any entrepreneurs in the area because I was looking to work for one of them so I could, like, learn business because I'm obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. And so let me ask you this. I'm, like, like emotionally distraught right now because I'm not where I want to be right now in my entrepreneur ventures. And I know everything you just said, it makes sense, but what if I'm having trouble, like, with my, as far as emotionally, like, moving forward? What would you recommend? I don't know if that makes sense at all.
Oh, it makes a great deal of sense, Amy. What I would
Hold on, let me just say one more thing. I feel like my emotional battle is stopping me more than anything, more than skill set or anything. It's like, just that's like everything, is me just talking to myself inside, and it's horrible.
Well, I understand totally. What I would recommend is that you perhaps get in touch with someone with this small business association and see about finding a mentor. Now, I know we're just about out of time on the air, but let me say this quickly. Whatever your arena of entrepreneur interest is, go to your local chamber of commerce. Talk to someone mm-hmm. that's in charge of the Chamber of Commerce and ask them who you might be in touch with that perhaps would be interested in mentoring you. And this is going to give you the network, the beginning of a network of support. And I would say start within your community structure first. And there are many, there's SCORE, SCORE, which is the Association for Retired Persons. Hun, I regret I'm going to have to stop because I'm out of time.
Thank you so much, Donna. You have a blessed day. Thank you for the help.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, I'm going to have to finish Debbie's story tomorrow because I'm out of time. Thank you so much for calling in, Amy, and thanks all of you for being a part
Thank
of the
you.
Show today. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous day, evening, wherever you are, and we'll be chatting tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.